Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all campuses. Come on, St. Louis, you can do better than that. All the campuses. I'm stoked about today. It's kind of crazy here in Florida, by the way. There's like rain like you would not believe. It's just like, and Felicia and all them folks from St. Louis are here from the Ferguson campus. And I told them, what do you think of the Sunshine State? I mean, the weather in Florida is buck wild. Can I get an amen here in Florida? Hey, listen, today we're going to have a whole lot of fun talking to you today about the mind. How many of y'all have been enjoying the series? Wave your hand at me. And but before we get into it, I want to talk just a second about the Connect Groups. I think it's very important for you to not do life alone. When we get alone with our thoughts, that's when we get in trouble, you know? And so it's very important that you get in a group. Some people think, well, the Connect Groups, I don't like books. I don't like to read. I get that. I'm hooked on phonics. But there's different groups. There's the eating group. How many of y'all feel like the Holy Ghost is leading you to that group? Come on, man. It's where they go to lunch, they hang out, eat chicken wings. I'm all about that group. And then, of course, we also know that there's just any kind of situation that you're in, if you're like in a discovery group, there's recovering groups, there's about every kind of group. And if we have a group, or you see, we're missing a group, that means that you're called to start that group. Look at your neighbor and say, get in a group. Recently, I was stuck. I was out speaking to being alone. And I have I knew that I might be alone in a Jeep because I've been alone in a Jeep a lot of times and I get in trouble. And so I videoed this, me getting stuck. I was going down to have lunch by myself. And actually, it's the reason why you should get in a group. Check this out.
Okay, so I got to show you what happened to me here. Just came up here to see where the river was at. As you can see, I was here, but it just slid. I just slid right off the edge. So now my tires are spinning, and I'm stuck. How it started is I was at my Chick-fil-A after my meetings, and I was going to have a little picnic, you know, lunch, chill, think. And I'm alone down by the river. I'm going to figure this out.
Okay, it's on a little tree.
Well, gang, I'm out of the woods. Thank God for the helper. It's just like the Holy Ghost. He's there for you. Pull you out.
All right, there we go. That's exactly why you shouldn't go eat your Chick-fil-A alone. Come on, somebody. But I didn't have to call anybody because I was prepared. And that's kind of what I want to make sure that you're doing, is that you have the forethought to be prepared. And so you need somebody to help you get out of the rut. So we have ruts in our thought life. Anybody ever find out, and it's true, that probably 90% of the thoughts that you think are the same things that you thought and said yesterday? It's just like because your brain... First of all, raise your hand at Sunset or in all campuses if you got a brain. Raise your hand, okay? So I check every week. How many of your brain is definitely bigger than the person next to you? Raise your hand, right? So our brain, there is something called neuroplasticity of the mind. Pastor Nicole is really good at talking about this. In fact, the mind is very pliable. It's flexible. It's trainable. That's why the Bible said in Romans 12:2, it said, don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I suggest that's why I love groups, is because if you get me the right person, I can get the right answer, and the right answer leads me to my preferred future. And that's why you came to church today, so you can find out more about Jesus, know what his word says, and then apply that word to your life right away. So today, it's really gonna help you. I want you to put up this slide. First of all, the difference between negative and positive thinking. Okay, the negative thought says, I can't. The next one says, I will. Somebody says, it's hard. A positive person says, I'll achieve it. The negative part of your brain says, I'm going to fail. This one says, I will achieve. It says, I want to give up. It says, I'm going to keep on trying. I'm not good enough. Or I'm going to keep leaning in to get better. So remember the Bible said that you're snared by the words of your mouth. You eat good by the fruit of your lips, right? So what you're saying oftentimes is dictating what your brain actually tries to figure out for you. That's why it's very important to keep your brain active. You know, people do, you see older people that are really, really active. They're doing crossword puzzles. They're watching Jeopardy. They're like, no, it was Madonna, right? And so they're watching all these things to keep their brain moving forward. Because when you let your brain just lay there and become inactive, it won't search for new results. And this incredible computer that God gave you wants to find results. So I was with someone yesterday and they said, I was saying something and they said, well, I can't afford that. And I interrupted that thought pattern and said, hey, I don't want you to ever say you can't afford that. The fact is, technically, you could afford it. You just chose to buy other things. So therefore, right now, you technically can't afford it. But as soon as you said, I can't, you negated the wiring in your brain and you put yourself in a rut. He was stuck. And I pulled him out and said, maybe a better choice of words was, I chose not to spend that money on that right now, but I'm doing some wise maneuvering over here that's going to allow me to allocate the necessary funds to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Somebody ought to shout amen. So when you say, I can't, it's the opposite of what God said. He said, what did he say? I can. Let's all shout it together, class. Why? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can get the education. You can get the loan. You can overcome the cancer. You could actually do what Nicole did. It got divorced. It was just messed up and then met a man like me. Come on, somebody right now. And then she started realizing, I need to figure this thing out, right? And that's why she studies a lot about neuroplasticity, because she was dealing with a neurological mess. Okay. Enough said about that. Let's go to Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, here it is, it's programming the mind. My son, pay attention to what I say. That's what we're doing today. Turn your ear to my words and do not let them depart out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep them, I underline that part, your heart. Everybody shout that with me. What is that? Your heart. Your heart oftentimes is referred to in the Bible as your subconscious mind. Okay, so we'll talk more about that, and I'll unpack that in a minute. For they are life to those that find them, and health to one's whole body. So we see that sometimes where people actually, they're saying the wrong things, so their brain responds, and they say, somebody comes up to them and said, hey man, you look pretty tired. Really weren't even thinking about being tired. You had 3 cups of coffee and a Red Bull, you're feeling good. But your face looks tired. You got bags under your eyes. You don't have your makeup on. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Your weave done slid off the side of your head just a bit, right? And so your nail, one nail chipped off, things jacked up. So somebody comes up and says, you look tired. The fact is, you don't look like you looked on your Instagram because you had Photoshopped yourself. Come on, somebody, get in here right now. And you had made people think that they were looking at something else besides what they were looking at. And then when they saw you in real life, they said, you look rough. You said, hang on a minute. Let me put my filter on. You know I'm telling you the truth. Come on, somebody. So when you say something like that and you agree with that, I am tired, your brain goes and says, you're tired. You see people do this. Recently, I heard a guy that said, we're moving. We have a two-story house. As we get older, we don't need to climb the stairs. When we have our surgeries, they're expecting this to happen. We don't want to have to go up and down the stairs. We need to be able to be mobile on one floor. I'm like, my gosh, how old are you? He goes, I'm 29, but I'm thinking ahead. Okay, so your brain begins to say, hey, I am old. When you say stuff like, I reached down to pull up my socks, it was my skin. I have Alzheimer's disease. I just can't remember. No, the Bible said the memory of the righteous is blessed. And so when you start saying the things that God said about you, your brain prepares to live instead of preparing to die. Somebody ought to give God praise. Don't just watch me on the screen right now. So let's look at it again with that in mind. For they are life to those that find them, verse 22, and health to all their flesh. Above all else, guard your heart, or we could also say your subconscious mind. For everything you do flows out of it. Keep your mouth from perversity. Keep it from corrupt talk. We just talked about that. God considers that like Christian cussing when you say something opposite of what he did. Keep your eyes looking straight ahead. Fix your gaze. Look at your neighbor and say, fix your gaze directly upon and before you. Give careful thought. Careful thought. There's our thought life again. We're talking about mind. Careful thought to the paths that you're on. Do not turn to the right or the left. So when we align ourselves with God, what we're doing is we are making a choice. Life is made up of a series of choices. Low-fat peanut butter, high-fat peanut butter. White bread, brown bread. Oat milk, almond milk, regular milk. There's a lot of milk. Come on, somebody. There's just a lot of choices. So your choice today to say, I'm going to go to the house of God, I'm going to worship God in public assembly because God said to. Automatically, it triggered something in your brain that said, hey, you're doing the right thing. So your subconscious mind said, hey, ultimately, you're starting to make some smarter choices. Because before, you would have never thought about making these choices right now. You sitting in Earth City right now, you never thought back in the day when this was a bar and that big old huge building was at 160,000 square feet and you were up there singing with Willie and dancing, swing your partner, swing around, kick her in the booty and knock her down. You had no idea that someday you'd watch on television, you would see me preach and go, heck, I know where that place is. I used to do the Boots Good and Boogie there. And so never did you dream that. But God, come on somebody, in his divine purpose for your life, called you out of darkness. Somebody ought to shout amen into the marvelous light. Now, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Today, I've given you a choice. There's that choice again. Between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call upon the God of heaven on this choice. And then God says, oh, I would that you would choose life. So God is saying, hey, ultimately, you need to be very careful about the choices that you make. In other words, pay attention to what you're thinking about. Because your thoughts become your words, and your words form your world. You're the cultural architect. You're like, I don't have enough money. This runs in my family. I mean, okay, so you go to the doctor and say, hey, what runs in your family? You start checking off sugar diabetes, you know, ugly, periodic cancer. You just check. You need to say, hey, wait a minute. Hey, I'm really not wanting to talk about what happened to them. I want to talk about what happened to him. And can you just do my own blood work and find out what's going on with me? Okay, so while we're on blood work, look at your neighbor and say, while we're on blood work, you get a call from the doctor. The doctor says, hey. First thing that jumped in my head right there was doctor called and said, no more monkeys jumping under the bed. But anyway, that's my little song. But the doctor called and said, hey, give us a call immediately about your blood work. You have some choices there. You immediately go into the choice number one, which is fear. I'm about to die. Oh my God, I'm planning my funeral music. My mother-in-law, she tells my daughter every time she sees her, oh, Ashton, I love that song. I want you to sing that at my funeral. For years, she's been planning her funeral. Ashton says, Grandma, don't say that. And by the way, this is the healthiest old lady you've ever seen in your life. She has eaten from a garden, tomatoes, no nothing. I mean, it wasn't even that she ate organic because she chose to. She ate organic because they had to grow it out of the garden because they didn't have enough money. You know what I'm saying right now? So she has no contaminants. If there's anybody going to live forever, God Almighty, it's going to be my mother-in-law. And so Ashton keeps saying to her, stop saying that. Then the other day she said it. She said, Grandma, if I sing every song that you've told me to sing at your funeral, it's going to be like a two-day festival. So choice one is fear, planning out your funeral. Yeah. Option two is denial. Not going to call them. That's probably routine. Nothing's wrong with me. And then option number three is, hey, I trust God. I'm going to call them because no matter what they tell me, I can change that through God's word. And if they tell me something negative, I'm going to return and say, okay, that's what the doctor said. Now let me tell you what the great physician said. By his stripes, I am healed. By his blood, I am made whole. You sing that. By the way, that's why you go to worship services. So we don't sing songs like I'm a poor old beggar hanging out at the gate. Don't know what's happened. I've never had a date. Come on, somebody. Because of that, I've never been able to mate. Come on, it's getting worse. Say somebody ought to laugh at this right now. So that option number three is the best one. But if you choose option number one, false evidence appearing real, and you're prone to be negative, I'm just always go to the negative to make sure that I've really thought about all the possibilities that could go wrong, just in case they go wrong. So if you're that person, what you're going to do is you're going to start feeling bad automatically. Wow. And your brain's going to tell you that it isn't right. And you haven't felt well in a while. You always have to use a filter because for God's sakes, you look really old. You don't feel really good. And then you go ahead and get the courage and you pick up the phone and you call them and they say, hey, we got some great news. Your blood work came back absolutely amazing. And I wanted to tell you myself. And all of a sudden you went, what? And then your brain said, you feel good again. And then you're like, ha, I feel good. Ah. That's James Brown if you don't know. What happened? what happened was your brain carried to your body the way it thought it should feel. I'm going to say it again. Your brain, I asked you if you got one, you said you had a big one. You were egotistical about it. In fact, you said, I got my brain bigger than your brain. Your brain tells your body how to feel. That's why when you go to church, you get in a group, you get right the wrong the right people, all of a sudden now your body starts living. It starts reproducing hormones and chemicals and dopamine. And somebody ought to shout amen. And then you walk around happy. And then people say, if you're happy and you know it, if you're happy and you know it, if you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, if you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then. I just don't feel really happy. I ain't gonna clap my hands and I ain't gonna stomp my feet. I've got all bad arches and I'm just saying, no. You need to tell yourself, let the weak say I'm strong. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God doesn't make any junk. I'm going to live so long, my friends in heaven think I'm done with the hell. And I'm going to live full of joy. I'm getting too excited. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Somebody ought to give him praise today. Uh-huh. Look at your neighbor and say, uh-huh. Now, I had a guy on my team, Hunter, make this really cool graphic, and he is good. They're going to put it up there. Wow. It's my explanation of your mind. Number one, you got a mind. Number two, like a submarine, you have a subconscious mind, and that joker goes down just below the surface. Then your subconscious mind, like a projector, projects the reality in your life. Then your brain is like a computer, and a computer has to be programmed. So while you're programming your computer, most of the time, a lot of that happens between the ages of 0 and 7. That's why we got the sponge. Little kids like a sponge. My little grandson, we told him that red was red, so he thinks red is red. We told him that yellow is yellow, so he thinks that yellow is yellow. We told him that purple was purple, and he thinks that purple is purple. When he sees green, he says, green. We told him that 1 and 1 equals 2. We will tell him that 2 and 2 equals 4. We're going to tell him that 8 and 8 equals 16. That's as far as I can take him, but his mother and grandmother will take him further. Not going to try to show off up here today. So what happens is between your 0 and 7, your brain is in the theta mood, and it's in the mode of that. It's the same mode that you're in when you go to sleep at night. So when you go to sleep at night, how many of y'all, when you first lay down, your brain's going, zzz, zzz, zzz. Come on, raise your hand right now. And you're thinking about all the things that people did wrong to you. And you're like, you know what? I should have told Shaquita what for. And when I get there tomorrow, I got a better speech for her. When I get there, I'm going to tell her how he do it. And then I come home, and Bob left all the junk out, and I told him to take out the trash, and he never puts a bag back in it. You say, what's her and Bob? This is the interracial relationship. Come on, go with me on this right now. And so now they're in all this tension, and you go to bed, and in the middle of the night, you go, I got a bad dream. Because your subconscious mind underneath is trying to figure out what was real, what was not real, and that's where we get this term, limiting beliefs. Many times our life is limited because of the way we were programmed from the time we were 0 to 7. And continuing throughout our life, if we get around the wrong people, our subconscious mind tells our mind what to do. So when you go to bed in the theta state at night, eventually your brain maybe it's like, oh my gosh, I'm getting really tired. Anybody ever done that? Like maybe got relaxed at a movie and you're like, okay, I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm trying to watch the movie. And then you fell. Any movie sleepers in the house with me today? And then Nicole goes, hey, how'd you like the movie? I'm like, it's great. Because I'd come and go. And she's like, you liar. You were snoring through a third of it. You don't even know what happened. I said, it was great. I had a great nap up in that place right there. So your brain gets heavy, right? You're in the rain, windshield wiper. You're driving going, I know I should stop over and drink 4 Red Bulls, but I'm almost, right? So your brain is slowing down in that analytical phase. It is moving into the theta phase. And now that's the one time of the day when, listen to me, that the subconscious mind is open for interpretation. That's why a lot of times when you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, anybody get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Raise your hand on all campuses. Don't just sit there and not raise your hand. What do the rest of you people do? You're like, I got a water bed, okay? I get up sometimes and then it depends. Sometimes I wear my Depends. Okay, what? Whatever. But for me, personally, I like to get up in the middle of the night. I don't like to get up, but I have to get up in the older. I used to get up one time a night, and I get two times a night. The worst part is Nicole gets up too, so sometimes you ever, anybody in here ever met your spouse in the middle of the night? Raise your hand. You've never lived till, ah! Come on, raise your hand again. So, but when I'm going, I'm trying to stay in that theta stage because I don't mind. I don't need to get my mind going about, is the dishwasher unloaded? Is it trash day? What time do I got to get up and work? What city am I in? Where am I at? I don't need to get there. I'm just staying there. But it is in that moment that God speaks to you. Here's the question. Listen to me. Sunset, Ferguson, Weldon, all y'all, RPC, wherever you're listening, on the moon. It's important during that time to listen to your heart or your subconscious mind. Have you ever, here's the question, in the middle of the night, not known what to do, but in the middle of the night, all of a sudden you knew, you're like, whoop, I know exactly what to do. Raise your hand if you know, I know exactly what to do. Or you're like, whoop, that joker was lying to me, and I know he was lying to me, and I need to write this down right now to ask these questions. Somebody ought to shout amen. I got some questions right now. What? So your subconscious mind is what they call a protector of your choices. Wow. So remember I showed you a minute ago this projector. Your subconscious mind has a projection of what the reality should be. Therefore, anytime that subconscious mind is programmed wrong, and now you're making choices that don't line up with the subconscious mind, it might be on the negative. It'll look like this. I come to church and I tell you, you're blessed, you're favored, you're anointed, something good's gonna happen to you. Everything your hand touches turns to good. And you're like, yeah, yeah. And then you get alone and it says, no, because your dad said that you're worthless. And your boss said you're worthless. And it goes all the way back to your coach who said you weren't athletic. And you played tailback. They were always telling you to get your tailback on the bench. You know. So you're pre-programming in your mind the reality of what is happening in your life doesn't match the pre-programmed. Wow. So that's why I need you to hear me yelling today. You didn't get programmed in a day. So that's why I often tell you, if you'll give me and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God a year, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself because you will not recognize yourself because you won't think the same because you have been rewired for success. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. Shout, I'm wired for success. Say, I'm wired for happiness. Now, I want to put up this slide. And you're more than welcome to take a picture of this. You can post it on Instagram. Just make sure you mention me. You must become aware of your unconscious thoughts and behaviors. Mm-hmm. Then modify them. What happens is you can identify the bad behavior that you're getting ready to do, whether that's gambling, pornography, abuse, rage, whatever it is. Something's going to trigger you, and your subconscious mind has been programmed, ain't no woman going to tell me what to do like that. My dad, he was that way. He was a very interesting dude, and he's a cop. He's a tough guy, and he was always like, you know, he'd get mad at my mom. He'd be like, hey, he'd stutter when he got mad. Anyway, he was telling me, ain't no woman going to tell me what to do. So when I got married for the first time, I took on, that's what I was programmed to do. So I told my first wife, and now she's gone because it didn't work. She's like, hey, I didn't marry your daddy. I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, rah, 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 rah. So I got divorced, which gave Nicole this wonderful opportunity. Somebody else got to get married. And then by the time I had 8 years of bad marriage, I got in the new marriage, and I said, I'm not going to try to change her. I'm going to let her be who she's called to be and who she wants to be. And she did the same thing with me, other than she said, you're not wearing your hair that way, and you're not wearing those shorts that way. Those are too short with combat boots. You don't look right. There were a few modifications. In fact, I'm lying to you. There were a bunch of modifications. But the fact is, your behavior and that thing you don't like about you is because our unconscious mind needs to be reprogrammed. And so that's why hurt people, because under the subterrane, underneath the surface, she looked good, but she came at you like, ah! All men are bad. I thought you needed a man bad. I did. but I got a bad man. Something on the inside has to change so that we can think different, so our heart is different. Raise your hand if this makes sense to you. Come on. Don't just watch the screen at any campus. Raise your hand. Wave it at me right now. Wave it at you. Wave it big. Come on. Enough to where the person next to you either smells you good or smells you bad. You smelling like Creed or Old Spice? Or your right guard turned left? Come on, somebody. I don't know, but we're going to move it around today. Okay. Now, Proverbs 23. Check this out. For as he thinks, there it is. You're thinking with that brain of yours. In his heart, or also subconscious mind, so is he. So if you're no good because somebody told you that you're no good, I got good news for you. Bring that camera over here because they can see that I'm not filtered. And I need Botox. I know. I'm late for it. You are not who they said you are. And here's the kicker. Most of you aren't who you think you are. Who do you think you are? Well, you're probably thinking wrong. You're probably thinking that, in fact, even the way you're showing off or bowing up or is probably insecurity or inferiority, which is in fear that you're living in. You ain't got nothing to prove to nobody. Here's the deal, man. I'm sitting here in a high school right now, and there's there's a nice group of people here, but there's a lot of people missing today because there was sirens going woo, woo, and tornadoes. The fact that anybody came to hear this message today was incredible. But the fact is, I came up and realized that you didn't know there was a tornado, and you came to have a good time. And you're in a sunshine state of your own called Missouri, which is the show me state. But I decided I'm going to reprogram my brain, and if nobody shows up today and tornado sirens are going off, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up, and I'm going to preach the word to every soul that comes into these buildings today. Come on, somebody, because I want to change the way you think so you can change the way you live. Yes! Everybody shout yes! You are rowdy. There's only a couple hundred of you, but you guys are scary. Royal Palm or Buck Wild in here, man. They're 20 miles away. I hope they get loose and head your way. You're in trouble. Now let's talk about how to program. Programming just analytically only works so much. Anybody ever done this? You're like, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to go buy a pair of pants to encourage me to lose the weight. Come on, raise your little chubby hand. I've done it. I've got a whole section that I just went through my closet and thought, those don't work, but I believe they're going to work again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When I was 50, I said, when I turn 50, I'm going to be in the greatest shape of my life. So I went down to like 178 pounds at a 31 waist, and somehow over COVID, it was tough and times were hard and I got bored, and then I discovered Uber Eats, and then we got to be friends, and then next thing I know, I'm like at a 36 and I'm trying to put these pants on, wearing bulky shirts, everything I can. And then the other day I said, just face it. The fact is, your closet looks like you have clothes to wear, but you don't. These are clothes that you used to wear. So now take these clothes and take them away. But I didn't have the heart to tell myself that I was never going to get back in those pants. I told myself, by God, when you turn 55, you're going to lose some weight. You're going to get back in those britches, boy, and you're going to preach every sermon about I wore these pants when I was 49. Look at me now, right now. It may never happen, but by God, I'm going to try. I'm going to live my dream. Okay, so see how I had emotion tied to that? Let me try a different emotion. Let's go over here. COVID was extremely hard on me, and I picked up a lot of weight and got depressed, and a lot of churches didn't make it, and a lot of my friends, they didn't make it, and therefore, now I have an eating disorder, and I'm depressed, and so I'm just glad to be here. Praise the Lord. There's emotion, but it's a negative emotion. Some people just analyze it and go, I'm going to lose weight. Here, it's Thanksgiving Day. You ate so much you can't breathe. And you go, I am not eating for a week. Anybody ever thought that? I've got enough calories today. I had 19,000 calories today. We are done. And then at 9 o'clock, somebody said, hey, do you want a sandwich? You're like, oh, I do love those. Oh my gosh. Yeah, they ain't nothing like white bread with some brown meat and some mayonnaise. Come on, go with me on this. It's not everybody. We thought about it up here. But there was no emotion tied to it. Wow. So I think, you know, I think to demonstrate this, there's in the Army, my dad went to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri to train for Vietnam, and he would tell me these stories, how they would all march in unison. These are people from different races, different religions, and they're all chanting something with emotion. They cut all their hair the same, they put them in the same pants and panties, and they had to get up at the same time, and they would sing stuff like, "Ain't no use in going home, Jimmy's got your girl and gone. That's right, that's right. I'm a killer. I'm a killer. I can do it. I can do it. Get down and give me 50 push-ups. Bam, 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 bam." And after 60 days, because there was emotion and tunes and chanting, they begin to say, "I am trained for this," because they immerse their subconscious mind and their conscious mind. And here's where I'm going with this right now. Some of y'all can feel it happening. This church, Faith Church, if you will immerse yourself in the Word of God, you'll get up 6 months from now and say, "You know what? I am not the same person I used to be. I'm in charge of my mind. I'm in charge of my ministry. I'm in charge of my money." Somebody's getting this right now. "I'll never be broke another day in my life." Give God praise today. Put some emotion behind that. Now, here's the kicker. I'm almost done. I'm really not done, but I have to be done, I think. Other than now that I think about it, if you want to stay, I'll stay just for a couple minutes. Hey, you, Florida, you don't want to go out there. It's literally raining cats and dogs. When I came in, 3 cats dropped out of the ceiling. 5 dogs came out. It is wet. You don't want out there. Ain't nothing out there but wet. And here it's warm. It's on fire, so it's drying you out. Okay. So here's the deal. When you figure this out, it's like cracking a safe code. All of a sudden now, God will even make more sense to you, because you're like, "I've cracked the code, I'm inside now, and I realize that my subconscious mind is trying to protect me, but really it's keeping me back. It's telling me, don't believe that, don't get your hopes up," when God said that he's the God of hope, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. That's not in my notes, but that's Hebrews 11:1. That's pre-programmed in there. You can write it down. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not revealed to the 5 physical senses. In other words, you can't smell it. You can't taste it. You can't touch it. You can't hear it. You can't see it. But you got to believe it. Our city, you're sitting in this massive building, 177,000 cars drive past today. And when me and Nicole drove past that, I had to visually see myself in it to be it. When they told me that the electric bill on it was $20,000 a month, if I'd have had the devil between my legs, I would have beat him to death. I thought, "Oh my gosh, I look like Elvis Presley. How $20,000 a month just for the electric bill? There's no way I could do that right now." And then they told me the taxes I had to pay the federal government, $1,100 a day for the privilege of owning it. I said, "Oh my God, I thought rich people didn't pay taxes. I don't understand what's going on with all this stuff." And then just right after that, God gives us Sunset Hills where you're sitting. 37 acres off the highway. If I had pre-programmed my mind and cracked it open and realized where God guides, he provides, and it's not based on my 5th grade education. Somebody ought to shout amen. It's not based on the fact that I grew up in a trailer. Eating air bologna. If you don't know that story, it's another sermon. Go back on YouTube somewhere and you'll find it. Somebody's thinking, "There's a lot of bologna in your sermon." Shut up. Don't be judging me. So hard up here. Man, it's tough. So when you reprogram your thoughts, then you're not triggered, because you realize, I don't have to pay the $20,000 a month. Where God guides, he provides. And now all of you are sitting in Earth City right now, and those of you sitting in Sunset Hills, you're sitting in a building where we just had to rip up. That's why it looks like a bomb went off in there, because so tens of thousands of people have come through there over the last 5 or 6 years. We had to rip all the carpeting out of there, and we had to put new carpeting in, and we put all new, what do you call it, underlayment underneath the seats, and then we bought new seats, just the new seats that you get. Those seats, the last seats were $680,000. and then the carpet to basically carpet football fields, a parking lot. I don't even want to tell you how much it costs. It just would scare you, and I don't even like to talk about it. But my mind had to grow. And then furthermore, I'll stop in a moment, probably, hopefully, when God told me to go to Florida. I said, oh my gosh, I can't go to Florida. I owe too much money in St. Louis. The people in St. Louis are going to think I go to Florida. And they're going to get mad and they're going to leave. That's what my subconscious mind told me. Then I came down here and I did it. Which means that me and Nicole would fly to Florida every Wednesday, and we would preach Thursday because Thursday was the new Sunday. Then Friday, we would jump on a plane, fly back to St. Louis, and then we would preach Saturday night, Sunday, work Monday, preach Tuesday, jump back on a plane and fly back down here on Wednesday. And we did that for a year, and we stayed married because that's when she learned how to deal with the neuroplasticity of my stupidity. No Sabbath, no day off, but we worked hard, and then we broke through the monotony, and now it seems normal. So now I know at Earth City, and I talked to Ferguson, and I talked to all the campuses. I know that you feel me because I feel you, but I had to get my subconscious mind to think the message is too important to just go in one building. It's got to go in a lot of buildings, not because of me, but the humorous capabilities of projecting the content. Does that make sense? So yes, there's a lot of churches on your corner, but they're not going to do it the way I did it. And the way I did it worked for you because you're jacked up, I'm jacked up, we get along. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't wrong. Okay. Psalms 94, I promise we're going to leave. I got to slow down. Psalms 94, verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. Look at your neighbor and say, that they are vain, empty, and futile. Blessed and happy and fortunate and envied is the man who you discipline and instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. So that's what we're doing right now. You're disciplined enough to come and receive the discipline and the instruction, which is going to change the way you think and change the way you feel. Verse 13, that you may give him the power, I love this, to keep himself calm. I want us to say that. Keep himself calm. Just the yellow. Read it with me. What? Keep himself calm. Shout it again.
Keep himself calm.
For the Catholics, let's do it with the chant. Keep himself calm. Florida, you're definitely not Catholic. Don't screw it up for St. Louis. It sounds like, keep yourself calm. Okay, let's try it again. What?
Keep yourself calm.
I felt the spirit of Kirk Franklin on me right there. I said, ha! Let's do it one more time. Come on.
Keep yourself calm.
I'm really into that. One more time. That just feels good for me. Just for me. There's really been nothing in it for me today. This is my deal. Let's try it one more time. What?
Keep yourself calm.
Anybody ever seen the Whoopi Goldberg movie? What was that called? She said, if you confess, Sister Ann, if you confess the Lord, call him up. Keep yourself calm. When you learn the word, you train your subconscious mind. Let gas go to $10 a gallon. Keep yourself calm. Whatever comes your way. I don't know what we're going to do. No. They don't know what they're going to do. I'm going to trust in the Lord. You're going to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to our understanding. Acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our path. Even our subconscious mind is projecting our preferred future now because we reprogrammed it, and we're no longer self-sabotaging because we can keep ourselves calm, and we don't say, my daddy was crazy, and my mama was crazy, and we're just crazy like that. We're Irish, and so we just bite and fight at people, and we just, No, that is the way you were trained. Now you have retrained your brain and you say, I keep myself calm because I'm rooted and grounded in God. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. I bless when I come in and I bless when I go out. Bye, Felicia. I am on my way to a supernatural opportunity. God is with me. God is for me. And I actually even like myself. It's raining cats and dogs outside. I don't care. I just little. Verse 17, unless the Lord had been my help, I would have dwelled in the land where there's silence. In other words, David said, unless God had been with me, I'd have died. Wow. I've been in the graveyard. Wow. Last slide. Get out your phone if you want take a picture, make it your screensaver. You can use this at the water cooler tomorrow at work. You have to look at certain emotions that keep you anchored to the past and decide if those emotions don't belong in your future. Wow. Every time I get in this relationship, I self-sabotage. I hear this, Pastor David, things are going too good. And when they started going good, then I just flaked out on him. I married him and then we got together and then I flipped out because I just thought I just can't be normal. I am not normal. So you have to realize that these emotions that you're having are not godly emotions and you got to reprogram it. You used to respond that way. It's okay to have a peaceful life. It's okay to have conflict, but have resolution. I would say Nicole is great at conflict resolution. Pastor Joe, my chief of staff, unbelievable. In fact, I call him and just call Bob and tell Margaret to, and then he brings them in and says, you know, we've been praying about what God would have you do. And we're just led of the Lord right now to make sure that we are operating under the standards and the guidelines of what Christ talks about in his word. I took him and gave him a 3-minute cussing video to say, not really, but just dang it and darn it. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I lost you on that one. Hey, look, I'm being real right now. I know Joe would never tell you that, but I ain't Joe. And you ain't Victoria. Some people have giftings on conflict resolution. But the way I grew up, if you made my dad mad, that's your problem. It is my way or the highway. You get in or you get out, and I don't care. Fact is, he did care, but he was so anchored in his subconscious terrain that he wasn't able to look at people and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I say it 1,000 times a week to people. I say, hey, you've heard me say this. It's my first trip. I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know how to be a pastor. If I had to go back again, I wouldn't even say that part that I said a minute ago, that I sent a 3-minute cussing video because that flipped you out. I'm like, hey, I would be better if I hadn't said that. Yes, I'll edit the crap out of my message. In fact, I just said crap. I got to edit that out too. Y'all screwing me all day. I could have quit 11 minutes ago, and apparently I should have. But now I'm just running down outside of my script out here getting myself in all kinds of trouble because of you. Come on, raise your hand if that just, you're like, hey, I get you. The scripture for that is, in the multitude of words, there is sin. So put up the slide. Let's look at it one more time. You have to look at the certain emotions that keep you anchored to your past and decide that those emotions don't belong there. Wow. Comes back, triggers you. No, that's how I used to respond. And then I would listen to this music and then I would go to that bar. But now I'm listening to Christian music. And I'm going to listen to songs that bring me joy and peace and satisfaction. I'm going to listen to podcasts, and all of a sudden now the feeling is gone because I've made new anchors. Stand with me, but nobody leave. Come on, stand up with me. I want to pray for you, but nobody leaving. Earth City, I can see you when you leave. I see when everybody leaves. You don't want to go to hell today for leaving church early. Here's the question I have to ask you at all campuses. Number one, where there's some things that I said today that you're like, man, that really hit home. Raise your hand and wave it high at me. I want to see it. How many would also say it helped me understand a little bit more about my conscious mind and my subconscious mind? Raise your hand. I try to take stuff that's really complicated and make it really easy and palatable for us to understand. I do know this. If you'll just stick with this, just focus on it, get in a group, go through growth track. I'm going to do that next week. Do it now. Yeah. Go through growth track. Get connected. You need to be serving somewhere in some department where you're known and where you're needed. And I want to pray for you. All the way to the back at Earth City, all the way to the back at Ferguson, at Weldon, at Sunset, RPC online. God sent me today with this word. And I tried to make it funny, but it's some serious stuff. We got to cut those wires. You're a bit of a brain surgeon. That neuroplasticity that I started out talking about, that Jeep sliding off in the mud, you got this winch that can pull you back, turn you around, get you heading that away. And that away is the way we want to go. You can do it. It's not too late. So you say, man, I've been through too much. I've got too much water under my bridge. I'm too old. No, you're not. You finally got some decent sense about you to go to church and learn things that'll change your life forever. I want to pray this prayer for you. Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I know, Holy Spirit, that you're moving in and out every row and up and down every aisle. God, there's some people that even need counseling, but they can't afford it, or they're afraid to go. But the Holy Spirit, you said you'd be their counselor. God, I feel today that this sermon was therapeutic. It was deep and rich in the counsel of Jesus. God, I ask you to touch your people today. God, let them know that they are not what they did. They're what you did. They're not destined or born to lose. They're destined and born to win. They're winners. They're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Jesus, I ask you to give them a revelation. Just kind of hit them today with this. Church is a big deal. And I feel so much better when I go. And I see that the enemy's trying to keep me out of church. And God, also hit us with that love for other people, our fellow man. We know a lot of people that have mindsets that are wrong. And next week, we're really going to dive deep into some stuff that's going to rewire their brains. And so next week, we're not just going to invite people to church. We're going to bring people to church. Because friends don't let friends go to hell or even go through hell. And we pray this all in the mighty, matchless, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen.